From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show. We are back. We are here. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. If you want to follow us over there on Twitter, do so at Bill underscore Michaels, at Bill underscore Michaels as we sit here today. You can get a hold of us in many different ways. Also, don't forget, you can always call in on the phone line, 855-830-8648, the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag Mill Hockey Talk line. Facebook is another way to track us down. Go to facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Look for the blue check mark. You can find us there. Find Radio Joe over on Twitter at Radio Joe Sports. And then there's always BillMichaelsSports.com for all the information. And the Radio.com app is a tremendous way to stay in touch with the program, no matter where it is you happen to be. Talking some Packers football, let's bring in our buddy Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Our buddy Paul Emig, Green and Gold Analyst, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, Paul, as we sit here today getting ready for everybody to start reporting to Green Bay, and I can't believe I'm saying that.
I was going to say, don't look now. It's football season?
Right.
Here we go.
I know. Can't believe it. Can't believe it. I am, I'm on one hand, I'm extremely excited. On the other hand, I always think to myself, oh, just not ready for it yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't, I mean, it's cliche and I get that, but like, it's usually about this time of year where it is training camp week and it's shareholders meeting week and really you're like, I mean, so I was going through, you know, Bill, I'm sort of a plan aheader on my DVR and I want to make sure I have everything set for upcoming Brewers games in case I'm busy. I want to watch those. And I got to actually like already set my DVR to record Packers Family Night. And I told my wife, I said, hey, I got to put a Packers thing on DVR. I guess that means it's officially Packers season because that usually only goes out about 2 weeks in the future.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's here. It is cliche to kind of, oh, it doesn't feel like it, but it really doesn't feel like it. And yet the pads are on and even already the Bears are ruling out Clinton Dix onto the PUP. And we'll see if there's any surprises in Green Bay, but you're already starting to see like significant NFL news happening. I saw Michael Bennett tore his ankle or something and he's out and, there's already, you know, there's NFL news happening, and now we wait for things to really truly kick off up in Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I mean, I'm looking forward to all of this because I think of the newness, because there is a new head coach, a new regime, a relatively new general manager. It seems like this air that everybody talked about being stale is now gone. And now we're getting it on for real. Look, I like what Mark Murphy had to say about, you know, when he spoke with the Big Show last week out of Milwaukee, where he said Aaron Rodgers, he's looking forward to this and coming in with a chip on his shoulder. I talked about this earlier. I completely believe that Aaron Rodgers is all fired up and ready to go for this season.
Oh, this is a revitalization. This is, I think, a shot in the arm. This is a reason to start anew, you know. I think for a guy like Rodgers, who is, you know, we all well are aware of the fact that he likes to be challenged, that he likes to, you know, have something new to think about and whatnot, that I truly do, Bill, believe that, you know, as things slowly sort of eroded after the, you know, what happened in the Seattle and Green Bay NFC Championship game 5 years ago, and then the way that the Atlanta Green Bay NFC Championship game played out, I think if this was more traditional ownership in Green Bay, or had Mark Murphy perhaps been as involved then as he is now, I do think the writing was on the wall more than just the past two seasons, that for as much success as Mike McCarthy had, for as much as he's going to go down as obviously one of the all-time great Packers coaches, much less NFL coaches, I think when you looked at Rodgers and you kind of saw the way that things were going, I mean, I was, you know, I know there was the back when the Packers were 4-6 in 2016, and Mike McCarthy said, I'm a highly successful NFL football coach, and they went out and won, what, eight in a row before they ended up losing. I mean, they just went on a tear. But I think from Aaron Rodgers' career arc perspective, this is what I think he has needed. Somebody new, somebody young, somebody different with a different way to think, someone to challenge him. And it's not to say that anything McCarthy did, you know, was necessarily bad, but I think it's been well documented that over the past 3 to 5 years, the power struggle at the line of scrimmage was very real. Even current Packers, who to my surprise, Mercedes Lewis is a current Packer being brought back after what he said on that one podcast back in like December or January, that power struggle was very real. And so now you have a new head coach, and yes, there might be a tug of war and all these other things, but I think this is exactly what Aaron Rodgers needed, a different perspective, someone new to challenge him, a different way to look at things. And I would be very surprised. I mean, injuries aside for Rodgers, we'll see how much, you know, the 10 years of injuries are gonna hamper him, if at all. But other than that, I mean, I think this is exactly perhaps the revitalization that Aaron Rodgers needed, much like what Brett Favre needed at the exact same age, whenever that was, you know, 15, 14 years ago.
Right. Yeah, I kind of I look at it the same in the sense that this is kind of like that last hurrah for Aaron Rodgers, the way Brett Favre got it when Mike McCarthy came in. And
yep.
I think there is going to be a level of success here that is going to happen. I just don't know if it's going to contain a Lombardi trophy. But I do get the sense that there is this heightened level, to say the very least, of enthusiasm at this point that this team is anticipating and already feeling coming out of the Matt LaFleur, you know, the hiring and what they've already gone through. Look, I think they've got more talent. I think that they're a better football team. I think you're going to see better leadership out of some of the guys. So I'm excited about this. But as they get ready to report, I still think that there's a lot of questions, and specifically the young guys, they all need to contribute.
Yeah, and Bill, I was going to throw a question back at you and then answer it myself. But, like, I've been trying to think about this over the weekend. Like, if you were to say, you know, break it down by position group, where are the Packers on paper, of course? We have a lot to find out. Where are they truly – where is there truly a roster weakness heading into this year? I'd love to start with you. I mean, do you – if you look at it just position group-wise, where are they weak?
That's a great question. I would say if you had to look at – okay – maybe not where they're the strongest. I don't think there's like this detrimental weakness. You can say, okay,
yeah.
You get past Brian Bulaga. Are you weak on the right side? You know, you don't have a true left tackle to back up Bakhtiari.
Nope.
So if Bakhtiari goes down, you are in a heap of trouble. You maybe can say your tight end position. If Jimmy Graham doesn't pan out and what you drafted doesn't work, then you're all of a sudden weak there. So that's offensively speaking. Defensively speaking, look, I think they've upgraded at a lot of positions. I don't want to say it's weakness. I want to say maybe inexperience and not – it's not blow-up, punch-you-in-the-face talent. I think guys like Martinez and company are very good. They are what they are. You don't have Brian Urlacher laying back there and wait for you and tracking down quarterbacks and, you know, being able to drop back into coverage and knock down passes. So I think you got a lot of mix and match going on. So are they weak? No, I don't think they're a weak team, but are they where's their strength? You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's strength compared to weakness, I think, are two different things.
Yeah, and there's, I think, like, to answer some of the pieces of what you just said, like, most teams with an elite left tackle, like what the Packers have in Bakhtiari, don't have a great backup there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What would probably end up happening, you know, Spriggs again, or maybe you have a situation where you then have Elgton Jenkins, their second-round pick, slide in at right guard, and then maybe you have their free agent acquisition, Billy Turner, slide to left tackle, because he's sort of a swing guy. I guess you could do that. I was going to answer the question, before you had, and just kind of like, I'm undersold at the moment at tight end. You know, as have kind of been talked about a little bit, Jimmy Graham, for me, I need to see it before I believe it. They did use their third-round pick on Stoneberger. We'll see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A very exciting prospect, but we'll see. If we have to start saying things like, you know, backup offensive line, if the Packers are in such a good place, positionally speaking, that their biggest weakness is, you know, back up anything, I think that's a pretty darn good place to start your season. You know what I mean? Because every team's going to suffer injuries. The Packers are going to suffer injuries. We're going to see whether or not the depth is truly there. But if you want to say, you know, you're starting 11 on defense and you're starting 11 on offense, those 22 players, I feel pretty darn good about. And yes, then we have to wait to see if the middle of the roster and the back end of the roster is any good. But I mean, tight end for me is a bit of a question mark. I think the offensive line is certainly improved with the additions of Turner and Elgton Jenkins, the second round pick. Even tight end, I think, being addressed with the third round pick. The defense is so much better than it was. I'm very curious to see a second year leap from like an Oren Burks, because you mentioned Blake Martinez. But does he have help there now? Maybe even like Josh Jones, who of course was drafted as a safety, ends up playing a little bit of that sort of new school pseudo inside linebacker stuff. The first 22 players on this team, Bill, I feel pretty good about in terms of discovering maybe a weakness or a non-strength. And I think it's, at least from the starters, the first 22 guys, a little bit hard to find.
Hey, Paul, before I let you go, as much as we talk about Aaron Rodgers, give me the side of the ball that's going to be the most important this season, the offense or the defense?
Yeah, the side of the ball, the answer is the defense. They have been built now. It's only year two for Patton, but I think it's already put up or shut up time. When you use whatever the total value of those contracts for Preston Smith, Darius Smith, Adrian Amos was, it was something like, you know, in total dollars, like 120 something billion, and guaranteed dollars, it was obviously less than that. But three huge free agent acquisitions. Three of the big reasons, by the way, that the Packers barely turned a profit last year was, yes, the Aaron Rodgers contract, but also the fact that they dipped so heavily into free agency, all on defense. So Patton got his guys from, you know, the Smiths and Amos are all going into their fifth seasons in the NFL. That's a prime, you know, that's guys' prime, really, their fourth, fifth, sixth seasons in the NFL. That's their prime. They use two first-round picks on defense. You know, this is the time for the defense under Mike Patton to be, I think, the better side of the ball for this team. Now, the Packers' ceiling, Bill, I think will depend on, do the Packers get Superman Aaron Rodgers? Do they get really good Aaron Rodgers? Do they get league average Aaron Rodgers? That is the biggest swing factor, I think, in terms of, is this a Super Bowl team? Is this a playoff team? Or are they maybe an 8-8 non-playoff team? Like, I think Rodgers is sort of like the biggest way to swing the ceiling. But in terms of this team being competitive in a week in, week out basis, and who's going to maybe end up being the strength of this team when we reflect upon it in, you know, either January or February, depending on when the season concludes, I think the strength of the team from, you know, sort of start to finish, from the bottom of the roster to the top of the roster, is the defense. They've invested too heavily in it now, draft and free agency and all these other things, to, you know, to have it be a weakness anymore. I think there's no more excuses built in. The money's been spent. The draft picks have been used. It's now time for that defense, I think, to lead this team on, you know, at least half the season to be the better half of the football. And we know, probably without the exception of maybe one or two years under Rodgers, most importantly of which was the 2010 season when they won it all, that has not been true. So we'll see if that's, you know, obviously a big difference if they have such a good defense, if they can certainly repeat what they did 9 years ago.
Always good, Paul. Looking forward to the season getting underway. I can't believe it's here already, but nevertheless, we'll cover it like a blanket. Good stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bill. All right.
Hey, pal. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them. 800-44-PRIDE, or just simply go to schneiderjobs.com and get yourself some. There's been a couple of trucking companies in the state of Wisconsin that have gone under recently. So I know Schneider's been looking for good people, and if you're out there driving a truck, or maybe not driving a truck because you've been left out in the cold, they're looking for good people. You could be one of them. Make sure you get a hold of them. That is our friends from Schneider. Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our good buddy Mike Clemens is here in studio with us. Time to start talking some Packers football with him as well. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Ted's obviously was health related. And, you know, you look at the consistency that we had as an organization, you know, 8 years in a row in the playoffs, Super Bowl, NFC Championship appearances. I think our fans got a little spoiled, and because I heard from a lot of fans, oh, you're just happy to make the playoffs. Well, it's hard to make the playoffs in the NFL, and Ted and Mike had a great run together, and it was really difficult, particularly this past year. But it was just hard for me. You know, I just felt that the change was needed.
There you go. That was Mark Murphy talking with Gary Ellerson in the Big Show from 105.7 FM, The Fan, last week. Joining us now here in studio, our good buddy Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. How you been, buddy?
I'm good. I'm very good.
Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah. I really am. I'm pretty excited, and I thought Mark Murphy's comments with Gary Ellerson, you know, co-host of your post-game show during the season, some of it was kind of jaw-dropping. Mm-hmm. Gary went right in there and said, okay, last year, game changer. Bears get Khalil Mack from the Raiders, and this guy comes in. Now he's a great player on defense, sacking quarterbacks, disrupting offenses, but he just seemed to lift that whole Bears team in Matt Nagy's first season. And so he asked Mark Murphy about the deal for Khalil Mack.
Well, the whole Khalil Mack, I mean, you know, there's no, I mean, it's not a surprise. We were aggressive. We wanted to sign him. And, you know, I think ironically, the Raiders took the Bears offer because they thought it would be a better draft pick than ours.
In other words, the Raiders thought,
yeah,
oh, no, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, they're going to win the division.
Yeah.
So we'll take the Bears because they'll probably be in the middle of the pack. And
they
lost season.
That.
We'll get higher draft picks out of it. I thought that was fascinating.
That is kind of typical for the Raiders.
Well.
To throw that, considering now, they're going to Vegas and they're gambling.
Now, let's also understand, too, Khalil Mack, his agent, if they had any say with Gruden, you know, and Reggie McKenzie, it's like, do I want to go to Green Bay and you'll always be second fiddle Aaron Rodgers? Or do I want to go to Chicago and get all those endorsements for a lifetime, like Ditka, like Butkus, like Urlacher, you know, be the next one of those guys with all those billboards you see when you're driving through the Windy City. And, you know, for a team, a franchise like the Bears, and, you know, what is their identity? It's defense. But I thought that, and so they paid him, you know, $90 million guaranteed against Aaron Rodgers, who got $135 million last summer with the Packers. And here's what Mark Murphy said.
I don't know if it's good to have the highest paid offensive player in the league and the highest paid defensive player in the league, if that's a good way to build a team.
And so that's one of the things it came down to. You know, one of these things we're going to be looking at now when they hit the practice field on Thursday is the status of Josh Jones, a second round pick, energetic, athletic kid, but he just keeps on making boneheaded mistakes. Dom Capers didn't trust him back there at safety. Mike Pettine has obviously not trusted him. And so he skipped the OTAs, and listen to what Mark Murphy had to say about Josh Jones.
You know, this is a big year for him. I think it's his third year. He's, you know, he's splashed a little bit, but he's been up and down. And, you know, I think biggest issue, and you know, I mean, brace competition. You can't shy away from it.
I mean, it just blunt. This is what I really respect about Murphy, and this is the way he talks when you're around him. He's pretty blunt.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty upfront and honest about this situation. And I, you know what, Bill, I forgot last year, you know, Josh Jones, did he have some sort of inspiration, if you will, to sit out the OTAs because he's ticked off that they drafted a safety and they spent free agency money on a safety from the Bears? And, you know, why is he being overlooked as a starting safety going into his third season? You know who skipped all the OTAs last year? Was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
He didn't come in here.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And so we were talking to Clinton Dix about, well, you know, you missed all this new defense. Do you think you can catch up?
I love ketchup. I love it on my hot dogs.
Okay.
I love it on my hamburgers. I love it on my fries. Ketchup won't be a problem.
Well, somewhere.
Clearly it was.
Somewhere, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix just shut down, particularly in the Rams game.
Mm-hmm.
Got traded to the Redskins. Now signed with the Bears in free agency. Oh, by the way, he's going to start off the Bears training camp later this week on the PUP. Sprained knee during their OTAs and minicamp. Ouch.
Oh, well.
So, Mark Murphy, you know, you've been talking about, you know, the offense, the defense, Matt LaFleur. That's obviously the most important thing. But I've been looking at what's going on with Green Bay in terms of the big picture. And Mark Murphy, he wants to get out of here with a Super Bowl ring. He's thinking about his own legacy. He's already got his heir apparent set up. Folks, keep an eye on Ed Policy, 49 years old. His father, Carmen, with the Browns, with the 49ers, you know, the Bill Walsh 49ers. And so Gary asked Mark Murphy about the goals that he and his heir apparent, Vice President Ed Policy, have with the future of Lambeau Field after profits were down 98% this year.
What we want to do is we want to be stewards, good stewards. We want to leave the stadium, the organization, better than we found it. And a lot of that is just continuing to invest in the facility. Our maintenance, you know, on an annual basis is over $20 million. And then, you know, we've had a number of major projects to the stadium. Biggest one was the south end zone and the atrium. But over the last 10 years, we've invested over $380 million in Lambeau Field. Big thing we're doing now, we'll do it over a couple years, is we're renovating the concourse. You know, for the average fan coming, be able to improve the experience they have with the concession stand.
I can see that, making the concourse a little fancier for the fans, and maybe more warming stations or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the year before last, their profit was $65 million. The year before that, $75 million. Last year, their profit was $724,000.
Mm-hmm.
It was down 98%. They paid Aaron Rodgers. They paid those four free agents. They had to pay a new coaching staff. They had to pay severance to the outgoing coaching staff. Remember, people were asking me, do you think they'll replace Mike Pettine? And I said, you know what? This coaching thing is getting to be pretty expensive.
Right.
In an already expensive year. And I think some of those decisions, you know, get played in a factor. I thought this was a very interesting question to Mark Murphy. Why are the Packers purchased so much land south of Lambeau Field?
We needed some additional parking because with Titletown, we took away some of the parking that was there. The land south, so we use it for parking, that is also long-term, potentially, that's where we could move our indoor practice facility. The Hudson Center is actually holding up pretty well.
For sure.
So we just entered into a long-term lease on that with the county. So that'll be, I think, 20 years.
See, the Hudson Center's on county land.
Correct.
They own the land south of Lambeau Field. So now they just got themselves a sweetheart deal to keep the Hudson Center, which has been there now. That opened up in the summer of 94. That was one of those things where Ron Wolf came to town and told Bob Holland, man, you need an indoor practice facility.
And they did.
But down the road, if the Packers want to, they could build their next indoor facility on their own land. Maybe they would end the sidewalk tradition, the, you know, kids riding the bikes and, you know, giving their bikes to players and that kind of thing, because they could probably attach it to the locker room. But I found that to be fascinating. They're thinking about building an indoor practice facility south of the ballpark, of the stadium someday.
Is that, that's where we park.
Exactly. That same spot.
Yeah, that same spot where we park currently as media members.
Do you think they'd let us park inside the indoor facility?
There's no
like
way
a garage?
In hell.
Just asking. And then the last thing, of course, is the big story in the offseason was the stories that came out between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy got to the point where they just couldn't work together. Last season,
I think it's much about nothing. I think you know, Aaron, you look at Mike. Mike and Aaron had a great run, and you know, I think he and Matt, I think they're going to really, really do well together. Matt's you know, he's an innovative, creative offensive coach, and it's going to be a challenge for Aaron. He's been in one system his whole career, and I'm excited though. I think you're going to see some things on offense that we haven't seen in the past.
Well, I'm excited. I think I echo what he said about Aaron Rodgers coming in and taking everything from the offseason and having an enthusiasm. In other words, he's got a chip on his shoulder and he's pissed off and he wants to prove everybody wrong. So to me, it does nothing but bode well for the Green Bay Packers.
So Aaron Rodgers is golfing the American Championship, South Lake Tahoe in Nevada. He does the most blunt, upfront interview I've ever heard him do. And he doesn't do very many one-on-ones. It was sort of by accident. And this is like the Aaron Rodgers that, you know, that you talk to off microphone,
mm-hmm.
at the locker, on the practice field, you know, off the facility. Some pretty interesting comments.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us here in studio. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Don't forget, the Cubano is back. The Wisconsin pulled pork and Gouda is back. And it's for a limited time. So if you're going to get in there and get one, you better get in there and get one quickly. Otherwise, always stick with a favorite. That's the Bill Michaels, the pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese. You're good to go. And at many locations, they now have delivery. Can't use it if you don't go there or don't get a hold of them. Go to cousinsubs.com. That is cousinsubs.com. Place your order. See if delivery is available in your area, and you are good to go. And don't forget, they are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I'll be honest with you guys. This is the first place I've been where OTAs have been open. So this whole off-season practice is open to the public is a little bit new to me. And so I guess I got to get used to that.
Head coach Matt LaFleur of your Green Bay Packers is there on the eve's eve, if you will, of getting a lot of the guys into Green Bay and getting ready for training camp. His comments there. Hey, Mike Clemens joining us here in studio. His updates presented by Chili's 3 for $10 deal. Training camp accommodations provided for by the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center in Green Bay, featuring the newly renovated guest rooms. Can't wait to get up there and take a look at that. But Mike joins us here in studio, again, brought to you by our friends at Chili's. So when you talk about, you know, Matt LaFleur coming into the situation as the new head coach and what he has going on, I know Mark Murphy, he's excited to have LaFleur in the fold. I know that, you know, there was a lot of talk about the rift between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. I mean, what's Mark Murphy supposed to say? You know, I was terrible. I had to boot Mike out. Because I was paying my quarterback, I had to keep him.
Well, I think Mark fired a guy that they put into the team Hall of Fame in Ted Thompson.
Yeah.
And it was because of health issues, and right. He said that. But he had to make those decisions. But he also was very open with the public and said, we got silos. We got departments that are not talking to each other. And some of this dates back to some stuff that developed back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to fix it. And I honestly think people have been very critical that Mark Murphy is, you know, delving into football and putting his nose where it shouldn't. Just stay over there on the business side like Bob Harlan would and let the football people run it. I don't think they had any other choice. And I think Murphy is saying, look, I have built these revenue streams. And Titletown is pretty smart when you really get into it about what they're doing up there as an outside revenue stream. So instead of these knuckleheads in the offseason saying, well, maybe we should have 18 regular season games. No, why don't you do what Robert Kraft and Mark Murphy have done, is find other ways to get revenue streams, because it is very competitive. It's a very slippery slope. I've had more time this offseason to understand the finances, things that Bob Harlan has had to say. Bob Harlan said that, you know what, if he didn't get that stadium vote back in 2002, whatever it was, that his stats guys, his accounting guys said, the Packers might have had to borrow money within 4 or 5 years, like $10 million, mm-hmm. at the rate they were going to pay Favre and all the other costs that they had. That they had dropped like a rock after winning the Super Bowl. They dropped from like top 10 to the 20s, and they were dropping fast because they were in Green Bay. So the pressure is there to be a revenue stream to keep up with the other teams. And so Murphy has done that, but now he's got to go back to football and figure out how to turn this around, because that's what his legacy now is on. Bob Harlan won the Super Bowl, finished up his career in an NFC title game against the Giants, and Murphy's got to figure out how to get his team back into a Super Bowl. And so he's going to be into it and more involved, and I think that this is the right thing for the franchise to do at this time. And the next step then is Aaron Rodgers. Is he on board? Now, Aaron has only done a handful of one-on-ones in the last 10 or 15 years. He doesn't like to talk much in the offseason. He's very good at his locker every Wednesday and every postgame, answers every question, does all the teleconferences with the visiting teams, unlike, you know, Tom Brady, you might only do 4 or 5 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So he meets all the requirements, everything that the NFL and those of us that cover the teams request in terms of that availability. And, you know, he hangs around his locker. You can talk to him. Kind of touch base on things and say, hey, look, am I off with this take? That type of thing. He's golfing in the American Championship tournament in Lake Tahoe. He's been doing it every year since he got drafted by the Packers back in 2005. Tony Romo wins the tournament. But Chris Sims, the son of Phil, is now working for NBC Sports. He talks Aaron into saying, oh, I want to do like this little podcast thing. Can I walk along with you? He walked along with him a couple holes. Rodgers gets an eagle and a birdie in the two holes that he's being interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wireless mic. You can't hear him really well. But I just wanted to share this with the listeners, because this is the guy that we talk to off mic. This is the guy that we talk to, you know, around the facility or, you know, or at an event or something like that. This is the way Aaron Rodgers thinks. This is the way he really talks. And it's just unbelievable in this interview. He talks about he studies everything. You know, there were stories like basketball players like Kobe Bryant. Why would he get up and have workouts at 2 a.m? You're Kobe
right.
Bryant.
Right.
Well, that's how he maintained. Or Stephon Curry and his workout regime. He's watching players from all sports, all elite players. And what do they do? Because he's thinking about, I turn 36 this December. What do I need to keep my game going? He's very adamant about he's got to keep the legs going. He even says, you know, Tony Romo, who was winning the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had the back injury. It's when his legs went, that's when his passing went south. That's when his game went south. And so he gets into Chris Sims about the whole Jeff Tedford carriage thing. Remember when he came out of Cal? And he would carry the ball up by his ear? Because that's when he went from Butte College to Cal, and the coach said, I want you to carry the ball up by your ear. So listen to what Mark Sherman told him when he arrived in Green Bay after they had drafted him.
And I got to Green Bay, and Mike Sherman was like, hey, you know, you got here throwing away your throw.
Right.
If you want to change it, go ahead. We're not going to say anything
about
it. And then I got the, you know, opportunity to play behind Brett. And you know, you watch a lot of stuff that I do, the stuff that he did all the time.
Right.
And I had a first row seat.
Yeah.
I was front and center watching him every day in practice.
Yeah.
I think his whole thing was like, just watch me. You're going to pick something up.
Yeah, right. And then you start to emulate a little.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to figure out what's he doing that I don't do yet.
Right.
That I need to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I did.
Exactly.
You know, for me, it's more about working the other parts, the core and the legs.
Yes.
Because once the legs go, and that's, I think, what separates the great throwers.
Yeah.
Is that they know how your lower half is.
Right.
And adjust where you have to throw.
Yeah, right. Find the lane, find the angle or whatever, the launch point.
Yeah, and I learned that from Favre because, you know, Favre had incredible fundamentals.
Right.
And then he had that extra set.
Right.
Where when he was moving hard left and had to throw a dig backside.
Yeah.
He knew what kind of weight distribution he had to have
right.
on his left foot
to be able
in
to
order to be able to
do that. Yeah, I hear you.
And so people always say, oh, he's falling away, he's throwing on back foot. No, he's not. He's just adjusting his body weight
right.
to maximize the force.
Right.
Because throwing, as all these coaches are now teaching, funny enough, comes from the ground up.
Yeah.
Which I've been doing forever. People are like, how do you throw with your feet off the ground?
Right.
So because I'm generating all that force.
Yeah. Right.
Into the ground.
Right.
And then timing up that maximum force when I'm here.
Right.
Now, I get what he's saying, but we saw last year where the times he's just constantly throwing off the back foot and the ball was falling short.
And all I can tell you is I've been watching Falcons tape and Matt Ryan struggle and the you know, MVP of the NFL 2 years before, he loses Kyle Shanahan as offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
He's throwing balls in the dirt, too.
Right.
It looked like he was trying to get his offensive coordinator fired after Kyle Shanahan went to the 49ers. Packers played the 49ers last year and almost lost to them. 49ers were marching down the field with a backup quarterback, and if it hadn't been for Kevin King's interception, they would have probably lost that game, or at least they would have been tied and getting into overtime. Packers beat them 33-30. Everybody talks about Sean McVay and the Rams offense, which, of course, LaFleur came from. But, you know, it's Mike Shanahan and his son Kyle, who's now the head coach of the 49ers. And we know that Aaron saw that Rams-Vikings game or Rams-Chiefs games where they're burning up the scoreboard with touchdowns. But listen to his comment about what excites him the most about Matt LaFleur's offense.
The scheme works.
Yeah.
Look around, the scheme works.
Oh, I know. I mean, my buddy's Kyle Shanahan. Right, I know.
The stuff they did against us this year in San Fran.
Isn't it unbelievable? How they get people open?
We're watching the sides going. It's pretty cool.
I know. They crack the code on defenses a lot.
And it's been fun. It really has been fun. I mean, I got a great room. I got him in the room. I got Nathaniel Hackett.
Yep, I know.
Been on the game forever.
Right.
Who's a great guy.
Yeah.
And I got Luke Getsy, who's I've known for a long time.
Okay.
So life's good.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
And you guys have got the audible thing figured out.
I
know.
Too much is made of that.
I know it is.
Because there's audibles in every play.
Well, I've been trying to defend people and just say, I think it's great that you guys are actually publicly having the conversation. I think that's a positive, that LaFleur is willing to talk about it, you are, and that means it's going in the right direction. I know a lot of people thought it was a negative, and I just didn't see it that way.
There's nothing negative about having a lot of experience and being able to do things that other quarterbacks just can't do.
Or
haven't done.
Right. Right.
You know?
What an interesting conversation.
And he's saying, look what I got in the room now. I got Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
I've got Nathaniel Hackett, who's a great guy. I got Luke Getsy. He was here for 4 or 5 years as a receivers coach. I know this kid. I think he's really sharp. You know, we get along. And I want to talk about some of the clowns that got replaced by these assistant coaches. Because we talk about players and all that.
Yeah.
But this could actually be the key that turns this franchise around.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Don't forget, Mike Clemens brought to you by our friends at Chili's. Three for $10 deal. Also, the training camp accommodations coming up at the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center in Green Bay, featuring the newly renovated guest rooms. This portion of the program also brought to you by our friends Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Final segment of the show coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You know, throwaways, protection. You know, you just keep working on making great decisions. You know, just coming together, doing the best job you can, taking advantage of opportunities.
Did you have a chance for a big play on that one? Equanimeous Sinker bent it inside. It was a blitz.
Well, anytime you'd like to always take advantage of plays.
So what happened on it?
I'm trying to think of which play you're actually talking about here.
32 blitzed right open to Aaron. I mean, it was like he was free.
Yeah, I can't think of the play right now.
My name is Matt Foley, and I live in a van down by the river.
Welcome back to the program. There you go. That is Frank Cignetti, former coach.
One and done.
One and done as the Green Bay Packers.
That's the quarterback coach Aaron Rodgers had to work with last year. Yeah. The old Mike McCarthy crony brought in as he circled the wagons and thought, you know, I got to bring in guys I can trust.
Yeah. He didn't really have much of a clue.
No, and so...
Smart guy when it came to maybe knowledge of football, but when it came to actually running Aaron Rodgers in the offense, it wasn't the best of moves.
If Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst are having a meeting, and Mark is convinced by Brian that this is a much better roster, where there's so much more, we could be getting more out of the tight ends, we could be getting more out of the outside linebackers, we should be getting more out of the secondary. Now, the secondary got banged up again last year. And ha-ha, Clinton Dix just decided seemingly to quit. Kentrell Bryce. I mean, they look at the draft picks that they have invested in that secondary, Demaryius Randall and Quinton Rollins, and these were mistakes. These were mistakes that Ted Thompson made. And even Kevin King, you know, he's only played in half the games in two seasons because of his shoulder injuries and other injuries that he's had. So, now, one guy that I really respect, you know, I mean, there's some great coaches that did leave. James Campen, the offensive line coach, immediately hired by the Browns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Adam Stanovich is replacing him. It's a fresh voice, along with Luke Butkus with the offensive line. They got to teach that outside zone scheme. But I hear these fresh voices that are coming in, and that's what this team needs. Because Joe Witt, 2 years ago, we thought maybe he'll be a defensive coordinator someday. When Joe said this last year, after they tied with the Vikings, Stephon Diggs had this catch and run for 75 yards. And there's Kentrell Bryce, undrafted safety, starting safety. And he had the opportunity to nail Stephon Diggs at the 5 yard line and just did an ole. So we ask his coach, Joe Witt, what happened on that play?
I think if you watch NFL football today, and if you're in KB's position, if he goes and separates the receiver from the ball, what's probably going to happen? It's probably going to be a fine. He's already been fined one time, you know. So I think that's flashing through a lot of DBs' minds. You know, I'm watching film against Washington. And their tight end catches the ball up the seam against, I forgot who it was, maybe Arizona. The guy hit him. He gets flagged for it. The only way he could have hit him is the way he hit him. And he probably got fined for it as well. So it's difficult when a guy's lowering his body, going for the ball, he's trying to make a football play, for you to make a football play, and you know that you're going to lose a lot of money and get a penalty at the same time if you complete that play. So that's just the reality of today's football.
Now, Bill, I appreciate the coach's honesty.
Mm-hmm.
But when he said that, the minute he said that, I thought, oh, Joe, you can't.
Right.
Brian Gutekunst is not going to put up with that. We didn't make a play because the player's afraid of being fined. We can't, allow that in that defensive back room.
That
can't be allowed.
He's trying to defend his guy to the league. And it's an explanation, trying to kind of stick up for his guy, but you can't. First of all, you can never, in the word football, you can never use the word afraid. You can never do it.
No.
There's nothing you can ever say that you can say, well, he's afraid to this. You can't be. There's a considered reckless abandon. But I agree with you. You also can't say, expect more of this because our guys are going to pull up. They're afraid of losing money.
And then at the outside linebacker position, you know, the drop-off continued after Kevin Green left. Remember the passion that he had? Now, Winston Moss was a great NFL linebacker for the Seahawks and you know, and a good coach, and he was an ally of Mike McCarthy that came up from the Saints. McCarthy named him an assistant coach. But Winston Moss got to the point last year where you just couldn't even talk to him during a press conference. This turned out to be his last press conference. And it was during the mini camps.
Let's go.
Donerson. The pads haven't gone full contact, but he has made some plays.
He's done what?
I know he even put the pads on, but it looks like he has been pretty active out there.
He's running around, okay?
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information in past press conferences?
I can't help you. You ask the question, I'll answer it.
That's Bird out. So Winston Moss is now coaching the XFL. You spend your first-round pick on an outside linebacker, Rashawn Gary, and you got this passion from a guy like Mike Smith, who played for the Jets and the Ravens, and now will be coaching up Rashawn Gary.
Whoever gives me my list, I still look at everybody anyways, because I think it's a good way to judge what's out there, right? If I just look at the 10 guys they give me, going in, I knew we had a chance. You know, I honestly didn't think he was going to go at 12. I thought he was going to go way before then, right? How I evaluated, looked at him. You know, and I'll throw out there, I thought he was the best in the league, or the best in college football as outside linebacker. I had him number one, right, because I believe in that, and I believe in him. And so I was very excited when we got him. I was running down the hallway, you know. So I know what he has, and I know what he can do. It's unbelievable.
Guys like that can turn the franchise around.
Time for us to go. Good stuff as always, Michael. Appreciate it.
Thank
Talk to you tomorrow. See ya. There you go. More of the Bill Michael Show tomorrow. Until then, have a good one.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.